Good evening, everyone. It is Tuesday night. It is Mansfield away. We've just got in the car. Windscreen wipers going far too often. And we just won 2-1. And what a great night. What a great relief to finally win at Mansfield. I'm about to set off, so I'm going to pass the mic over to Lods. He can tell me all about the game, and then we'll just riff from there. Don't think this is going to be too long of one, because we've got 38 minutes until we stop, because I need a drink. So we're going to go from there. We'll talk about the players. There's some great performances today. Lods, over to you.
Yeah, it's definitely a strange one, because I think the word scrappy is probably the best way to describe it. And a good kind of scrappy. We've been on the wrong end of scrappy games before, where we've been bullied out of games and, you know, we've struggled to get the ball down and play it. And there were definitely times in this game where we've done exactly that, especially in the first half. I think the rain has been terrible in Mansfield. The pitch was soaking wet. We were saying before the game even started, the ball was barely bouncing. We had the feeling that we were going to struggle. And we did. I think it took us quite a long time to get used to the speed of the ball on the pitch. Normally when the pitch is nice and wet, the ball's a bit faster, but it definitely felt a bit slower. And I think Mansfield were alert to that and were definitely winning a lot more balls in space than what we were, interceptions. And running on down the wing. But after half time, we definitely grew into it. We got used to it. We were a bit braver on the ball with our passing, forward passing, ground passing. And I think it was just a case of us taking our chances. It's mad, actually, when you look at the stats. It was 27 shots Mansfield had, 19 corners. We didn't have a single corner. And their XG, if you're into XG, was 3.01, which is really high. Like even games where, like in the Premier League, like when Man City dominate games, 3 is a very high XG score. So for them to only score one goal, it does paint a bit of a picture, but it didn't feel like Mansfield dominated for me in a weird way. It just felt like a very scrappy game where we took our chances and they didn't.
Yeah, I think you're bang on with that. And unfortunately for Mansfield, the only stat that matters is 2-1 Peterborough United. How often have we said over the last 2 years that we deserve to win a game? Well, we didn't, because we lost. And today Mansfield didn't deserve to win that game because they couldn't put the ball in the back of the net, which is totally down to them. I think, look, I knew that it wasn't going to be anything glamorous. I think we've actually been treated quite nicely to 3 goals. When you look at Mansfield's form, 4 draws before tonight, only 4 goals in those across all of those games, and they've only scored 2. So you're talking half a goal a game, aren't you? Simple maths when it comes down to it. And were Mansfield anything special? I don't think they were. I think that it was very much it was a home game for them, obviously, but the conditions certainly suited Mansfield, in my opinion, and the pitch wasn't great, was it? I mean, fair dues for the game actually seeing out 90 minutes, because Jesus Christ, I thought there was times where the ball was dropping and it wasn't even bouncing. So, you know, and a ref on another day could have called that off. I think that we've probably got one man to thank massively for tonight's result. I think that's Alex Bass. He has saved a goal pretty much right at the death, hasn't he? And when it was very scrappy, and look, first half we saw it. It's always difficult when you're behind the goal at an away end, I find, to see all the way down the far end and see exactly what's happening. But in the first half, he made the saves that he needed to. I didn't think he was massively under pressure. I thought tonight that his kicking was pretty much spot on for what it is, especially in difficult conditions. Like, it would be wrong to start saying his kicking was terrible, because it was foggy, it was raining, it was gusting all over the place. So he's done a great job, and we've said before, haven't we, it's so nice to have a goalkeeper that you can really rely on. And even when you watch him warm up, he doesn't drop balls in the warm up. He catches everything that comes in, and it must be a delight for the defence in front of him that they know that he's going to come out. He's happy to come out. He's happy to claim the ball. There's not going to be too much dilly dallying on it, and he's going to ultimately do his job, right?
Yeah, I think when you factor in the conditions of the game and how wet the pitch was, and the fact that the ball wasn't bouncing, I'm really, really impressed with how composed and calm Alex Bass looked. I think there was maybe one time where he spilt the ball, but to be honest, I think it was a bit of a foul at that moment in the first half. And then there was one slight mistake he made where Lisby was shielding the ball. He could have come out and grabbed it, but it was fine because the ball went out anyway. But everything else, I mean, leading up to their goal, he was already our man of the match, and we were sort of discussing that his rating was going to be about 8.5, 9. Then when they conceded, and I don't think the goal was his fault, I haven't watched it back, it's a bit difficult to give a high rating to a goalkeeper when they concede. You're looking for a clean sheet for a high rating, but that save at the end, wow, because that was literally like we were hearts in our mouth basically for the last, I mean, since they scored we were under a lot of pressure, but the last 5 to 10 minutes of that game was like really, really backs to the wall. And that save, there was a lot of pressure there, and he's attacked the ball, isn't he? He's come right flying out of his goal, closed down the angle and got the block in. Yeah, really, really good from Alex Bass. And actually the saves he was making, quite often with Alex Bass, is he doesn't make those glamorous saves, so quite often when you're praising him, you're like trying to remember good saves that he's made, and you can't. But there was quite a few decent saves as well, diving saves, one in the second half particularly that he's tipped around the post. Another player as well that I thought prevented a certain goal was Dave Akagbwe, that block in the first half, one that got past Alex Bass. I think he was on the floor, I think he just saved the ball and parried it to their striker, and Dave Akagbwe read that so quickly. He got on the goal line, didn't let that ball go past him, and that was another high XG moment for them that they didn't put in, and that's another man that we've got to thank for that, is Dave Akagbwe. It's great that we've got players now that can prevent goals, because historically we've always been a bit sloppy at the back, even as recent as last season. How sloppy were we, like, with the goals we were conceding? We've now got players that, I don't know, they just make it look so simple, don't they? Like Alex Bass preventing goals, and Dave Akagbwe is such a unit at the back, and obviously Tom Lees has done a good job as well. It's just really good to see us get a good scrappy defensive win like that.
Yeah, we don't often see it, do we? I think the last time that we really had a result like that was probably Plymouth away, where we won 1-0 and sort of just saw it out, didn't we? And like you said, lots about Dave. I mean, what a relief it is to have him back in the team. And I think the biggest credit that I can play or give to Dave is that if D-Max managed to sell Manny Fernandez to Rangers for $3.5 million, I just cannot see how this man doesn't go to a club considerably higher than that for similar money, if not more, because he does all of the things that Manny does, or that Manny did whilst he was at Posh. And look, this is no slight on Manny, because Manny has grown significantly whilst at Rangers, but Dave Akagbwe does all of those things that Manny does last season, but he does them better. He's assured on the ball, he's constantly switched on, I find. Yes, he still has the odd like poor pass in him and whatnot, but look, these are 22, 23 year old defenders. You get misplaced passes from your experienced defenders sometimes, so you're going to expect that, and especially with the amount of passing that we do as a team. But what a relief that, again, you're willing to see players put their bodies on the line. Tom Lees does it time and time again, doesn't he? And pretty much all the defence. Like, for reference, I checked my heart rate because I had my watch on at the time. And my heart during that, probably 3-minute spell at the end of the game was pounding out of my chest. So I had a look at it and it was beating at 155. Now, I was at the gym earlier on the cross trainer and on the treadmill doing an incline walk, and I got up to 158, so that's kind of where it sat me at. I don't really have much to say on Tom Lees. Do you have anything to say on Tom Lees?
No, not really. He had one of them performances that Tom Lees often has, where he just does everything so simply that it just, I don't know, it doesn't shout out at you, does it? It wasn't like a, I think because the whole team defended so well, it's easy enough for Tom Lees to get hidden. And we were defending at the far end, weren't we, in the second half, so there was a lot that we couldn't see, and I can imagine that Tom Lees was probably giving a good leadership performance. I think he was probably guiding the players around him. There was a lot of inexperience on the pitch towards the end, Patrick Sickert, for example, he got back and defended really well. He was put in an awkward position, really. The two subs, Pemi and Sickert, came on when we were 2-0 up. And then when we conceded and we went 2-1 down, we're sort of thinking, oh, we haven't really got anyone off the bench to sort of change this game back around. So it was actually really well managed by Williams, because I normally in that situation you'd expect Williams to go and try and get the third goal, but I don't think we were capable of it in that game, and the backs to the wall worked. I suppose whilst we're talking about the defence, we'll talk about the two fullbacks. I thought it was a really, really tough gig for both of them, but especially CJ. I was looking at the stats before the game and I noticed that a lot of Mansfield's attack goes down the left-hand side. And then during the game, everything was going down the right-hand side. So it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, Williams and his team did their research and were expecting everything to go down the right, left-hand side. And obviously we kept switching the wingers as well, didn't we? So I think that was dependent on basically Hayes is a little bit more defensive than what Lisby is. Can he go and support the fullback? But certainly for the first 20 minutes when Lisby was on the left wing and CJ was at left back, they were putting everything down that right hand side. And I thought CJ coped really well, to be fair. It wasn't a perfect game from him. There was a couple of iffy moments, but considering the pitch was in the condition it was, and the amount of space that we were allowing for the wingers, I don't think I want to blame the fullbacks for the amount of space that the wingers were getting. I assume that was a tactical instruction to defend narrow tonight. We must have been inviting the crosses in, because it happened multiple times on both sides, and in the second half as well. We didn't fix that problem. So I wonder if Williams has said, look, we're quite confident at winning those headers in the box, allow the crosses in. And I think that's probably why it made the job that CJ and JD had look a bit tougher than what it was. But CJ straight out to the winger very, very quickly, and he must have blocked so many crosses. There's a reason they had 19 corners, and I think a lot of them were fullbacks closing the winger down and blocking crosses.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And one of the things that I mentioned after the game on Saturday is that I always felt like we never really cleared the ball, and I think we did that well today, and the players were happy to put it out for a corner, put it out for a throw-in, especially at the end of the game. Like, there was some clearances that, well, at first half, Dave's leathered one into their, whatever that tin pot stand is on the left, that's no longer riddled with asbestos, and probably whacked someone in the face. And then second half, down the far end, he's just cleared it with his right foot, because that's what he feels comfortable doing, and it's gone into the stand behind the goal. And I don't think you can really ask for much more than that. And yeah, like you say, Lods, we were very narrow today, weren't we? But actually, I think that was maybe more it was a challenge to Mansfield to say, well, go on then, get your crosses in and see if you can beat us to the header. And they didn't, did they? Their goal that they got didn't come from a cross, it didn't come from a set piece. It felt like it was open play and probably an unlucky deflection that just sort of fell into their players' path. So I think the defence have actually done a really good job today, because how many times over the course of this season have we watched Peterborough United be bullied under that sort of pressure and not cope with it? Like, they had big physical strikers, but both of our centre-backs dealt with that, and like you said, Lods, the two full-backs have done their job and stopped the cross where possible. Or if they haven't stopped the cross, they've made it a difficult cross that means that your strikers aren't always in position. And I think that probably the next person to then talk about is probably Archie Collins. And I thought he was great today, if I'm being honest with you. I thought that it was, again, another performance where he was absolutely everywhere. He was happy to take the ball. He was happy to move it about where we needed to. And again, like, it's a lot easier when you are down this end of the pitch rather than down the far end of the pitch to see what Archie Collins does, but he is impacting games in all the way that you want him to. And I don't want to bang the drum again, because I feel like we're probably going to be doing this for the rest of the season, but that's going to be the big challenge for Peterborough United over the summer, is replacing Archie Collins, because I don't think that Donne had the strongest the first halves. I thought that Keller was good in the second half. And did Keller get the assist? Am I having a mind blank here?
Yeah, the second goal was Keller assist. Yeah,
And that's what you want to see from Keller. I think it's another one where he's driven forwards with the ball at his feet and we've gone on and scored a goal. So you have to give Keller props to that. That's now two goals that he's assisted in the last two games through doing those things that we saw of him in pre-season and we've seen throughout the season where he carries the ball. But the midfield today was tough. Louis Reed is a fantastic player, isn't he? I always felt like when he left, he was one that kind of felt like he would get away from us because I don't think that people appreciated what Louis Reed could do. And you see that whenever we play Mansfield, is that he's just a great midfielder, isn't he? And I'm not saying that I don't think that he's at the level where he will replace Archie Collins, but he's the mould of player, isn't he, that you need to go out and look for to replace that kind of player.
Yeah, it's a strange one actually, because when Louis Reed left the club, I thought it was because that kind of midfielder was a bit unfashionable. Certainly in a Fergie setup where he's sort of prioritising the quick transitions, it felt like he would rather have like a leggy box to box. He always likes a ball winner, but someone that's just going to recycle the ball quick. Louis Reed always struck me as the sort of player that slowed the tempo down. But then when Archie Collins came in, I thought he was that kind of mould as well. But Archie has a bit of everything to his game, doesn't he? Apart from obviously the shooting part, he did definitely struggle to release a few shots towards the end, despite Posh fans willing it on. But this is the sort of game that you kind of would expect to. I mean, Mansfield had 60% possession. Weather conditions tough. They're a defensive side. You would expect your midfield to go missing in this kind of game, and I think that's probably where Donne struggled. But this is the sort of game that proves how good Archie Collins is, because you're quite right, he was everywhere. He got stuck in, he put the challenges in that he needed to put in, but then he was also the one that was really trying to get the ball on the floor and play it, because we were really nervous to do that, especially in the first half. We were just sort of pumping the ball long, like no one really looked comfortable with the ball, but Archie was the one that was sort of in the middle. I say it all the time, but like, he is a leader on the pitch, not with his voice but just with his actions, and like he actually coaches the players through. There was a moment where CJ had the ball in at his feet and he was struggling to get rid of it, and after the ball went out of play, you could see Archie sort of turn to him and sort of like give his opinion on what he should have done. He should have shielded it and laid it off. And you can see players really respect Archie, don't they? They really look up to him. He's got that professionalism, and that's the other side of his game that's going to be really difficult to. He plays like an experienced player, doesn't he? I think that's what we're saying about Louis Reed. Louis Reed's got that. He looks like the experienced. One of the best players I've seen at League One level is. It's a bit of a digression. Marlon Pack at Portsmouth. He played a very similar role to what Archie does for us now, and he looked like he was playing at a top level, sort of like what Barry Bannon was doing at Sheffield Wednesday
as
well.
Every
team would love a player like that, but they're hard to get in League One. The fact that we've got Archie Collins doing it at the age that he is, and he isn't young, but he's not old, is he? He's what, mid-20s? You can see why he wants to move on, because he can obviously play at a higher level, because most of the players that are doing that in League One are all players that are at the end of their career and they're winding it down. Archie still hasn't got to that level yet. So yeah, another great performance from him. And yeah, Brandon Kelly, you're quite right. That second assist, it was an interception, wasn't it? I think their player tried to clear it. Brandon Kelly was so quick to react to it, to get it. And then to see Leonard had already peeled. I think Leonard was sort of expecting, or gambling, I guess, as good strikers do, that we were going to intercept the ball. Keller, it was such a quick moment of him receiving the ball, controlling it and playing that ball forward, and it was a perfect pass to Leonard. And actually, Leonard's finish wasn't even that good. It was straight through the keeper, wasn't it? We've had this debate a few times recently, whether it's a good finish or not. But Leonard does what Leonard does best, and that's get the ball in the net. We don't care how it goes in, as long as it goes in. Such a good striker. I love watching Leonard play.
Yeah, it's a good finish, Lods. You've said it today after I said it on Sunday. Doesn't matter how you kick the ball, as long as it hits the back of the net, and he's done it again, right? It felt like it. Leonard score at the weekend? I genuinely cannot remember.
Leonard did score at the weekend. Him and Jimmy J both set up each other for their goals at the weekend.
Yes, they did. Yeah, and it was another good finish. Like, obviously, the one at the weekend, yes, I remember now, it was a header on the line, wasn't it?
Yes.
And it kind of felt like Harry Leonard's time would come to get that finish where he wasn't on the goal line. And look, that time has come today, hasn't it, for him? He's been slotted through perfectly. He's finished it well, and the ball's hit the back of the net. And it's nice that both of our strikers, I know that Jimmy J. Morgan's playing in the cam role, but I still see them both as strikers because they love linking up with each other, don't they? And it was nice to see Jimmy J. Morgan with what's actually a really difficult finish, I think. Like, across his body, how many times have we seen it where you shank it, basically, and it ends up going out for a throw? It's a great finish, and especially to do it, I know this isn't really, like, relevant to the game, but to do it in the second half in front of the away fans, it always feels better when you go one up, when you go two up in front of the fans, and you get those moments where you can celebrate it. And they're the kind of things that you remember as a football fan, is that I remember that Mansfield game now where we went 2-0 up and my heart was pounding out my chest because I thought we were going to end up drawing after being 2 up. And you said earlier, Lods, like the subs that we had, it was kind of like bringing on Pemi Adeoju and Pat Saika at 2-0 up is great until you go 2-1 down, but both of them have helped see the game out and done what they could in the time that they had on the pitch. And I think that Lisby didn't have one of his best games today. I felt like he was quite, is this harsh, sloppy in possession. Don't know. Do you want to talk about Lisby? Because
yeah, it's a strange one. I don't think he was terrible, but he definitely wasn't at the same standard he normally is. It felt like in the first half that was the only thing we were trying, was to give it to Lisby and try and beat the fullback and get it in. And I think once we realised that it just wasn't working today, we did try a few other things, and luckily those things paid off. And I think that's probably why, because when we were attacking our end, he probably wasn't getting a lot of the ball. In fact, he did. We say quite a lot, Lisby starts off really wide at the start of the game, but towards the end of the game he gets more and more central, and he seemed to get central a lot earlier today than he normally does. And I think that's just because he wanted to be part of the game, and perhaps, like I say, we were trying other things. We were trying to go down the other wing. We were trying to use the strikers a bit more.
I don't want to be too harsh on Lisby, because it's one of those games where it's not a dribbler's game, is it, on a pitch like that? Like, the ball was probably getting stuck. Like, you're trying to get it out your feet quickly, but you can't because of how heavy the pitch is. And I would probably say that probably is quite relevant to Kieran Hayes' assist, is that you could see him, he just wanted to go, but he couldn't because he couldn't get the ball out of his feet. So I think Kieran Hayes has done a really good job tonight of getting the ball and getting himself into a position where he can make that cutback to assist for Jimmy J. Morgan. And it's not often, I'm sure that Harry mentioned it in the other weekend, is that Kieran Hayes' final ball sometimes isn't the best, but again, I don't want to say put on a plate, because Jimmy J. Morgan's got a lot of work to do still, but to put it in the right area for Jimmy J. Morgan to come onto it. And it's one of those where it didn't look like Jimmy J. Morgan had to break his stride as well, which is important when you're talking about connection on a ball. And I think there's going to be some tired legs, is probably the way that I want to say it, from the players that played 90 minutes today, and even from those that probably played 60 or 70 minutes. There's going to be some tired legs because that was a heavy pitch. So it'll be interesting to see what happens come Saturday when we head up to Bradford, because we know that 3 away games is going to be difficult on the squad, and we're going to have to utilise that squad. So hopefully we can get some of the injured players back in time for even next Tuesday at Barnsley. But when you couple that with an away game on a boggy pitch, it rained all game. Yeah, it's going to be difficult for us to go, I would say, unbeaten over the next 3 away games. But, you know, as I always say, we've gone to all of these places before with Fergie and we've never managed to win there. But it's very different under Luke Williams, isn't it? And tonight sums that up pretty well. I think that if anyone's going to get results in all these places where we never normally get results, it's going to be Luke Williams. I think he's just a great tactician, isn't he? And puts a plan together that feels like you've always got a chance of winning a game.
Yeah, it's certainly a tough run that we've got coming up. the Saturday Tuesday started back up again, hasn't it? We had a few weeks of just Saturday games, but now we're two games a week. We've still got injuries, and these are tough places to go, but this is why, like you say, it's such a memorable win tonight, because it's those Tuesday night games that you go, horrible weather, scrappy, really terrible conditions, battling hard, backs to the wall at the end. The two goal scorers, Jimmy Jay and Harry Leonard, such likeable guys. Like, I know you mentioned it there about them scoring in front of the away end. Like, I'd like to know how much the fans sort of cheered them on to get those goals, but they both celebrated in front of the fans. They both looked like they really love scoring in front of the fans, and obviously the fans love them as well. They're both massive fan favourites, and that is what stands out in your memory, isn't it? Like you say, the going to 2-0 up at Mansfield away on a Tuesday night, we will remember both the goal scorers for this game as well. We'll remember some of these players. They're a likeable bunch. I thought Kean Hayes' assist was really good. It was a cutback, wasn't it? He's really good at getting to the byline, and we said this a lot last season, that Kean Hayes doesn't look up a lot when he's putting the cross in. But I don't even know if he looked up now. I don't know if it's just Williams is ingrained that cutback so much into there, like it's just like a robotic kind of, like that the players are trained now to expect the cutback, because it did look like he just played it into an area where he was expecting players to be. And like you say, Jimmy J Morgan was like perfectly placed to finish that. It's a great finish. And yeah, just a quick word on the fans, actually. We've given them a lot of stick, haven't we, the back wall pounders. Yeah. I thought they were really good today. Mansfield normally have a really good atmosphere. I thought they were really loud, really consistent. But I thought our fans were as well. We couldn't quite work out if we had a drum or not, if it was just someone hitting the back wall. But if it was someone hitting the back wall, that's the best back wall pounding I've had. I think pretty much all of the songs were all supportive of the team, all positive, yeah. Posh songs. Heard a couple of the old classics. The Hey Jude came out, which is always nice to hear. Maybe a couple of moments where, even though we were winning 1-0, we were shouting at Alex Bass to play the ball quicker, which I'm not a big fan of. In a game like that, you kind of want to slow the game down, don't you, and time waste. But yeah, I think they deserve a lot of credit, because we have given them a lot of stick for their shenanigans at the weekend. And this is the perfect way to show that it was just a minority and the majority of them can get behind the team and put on a good atmosphere for the rest of the fans.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, you're never going to get the best of atmospheres on a Tuesday night, are you? But you've got to make do with what you've got, and those that are interested in helping to create an atmosphere did a good job of that tonight. And certainly, like you say, is that there wasn't any negativity, was there? And I always think that is probably quite a positive for the team, because we know that the team can hear them when they're on the pitch, and when you're singing negatively, then naturally you're going to hear that, and it's probably going to impact their game. So I think that when you're travelling in, I think 440, I think it was in the end, is good numbers on a Tuesday night, especially when you look at track records. And I think that the big thing is that people can start believing that we can go to these places where we've been crap and we never get results, like Wickham, like Mansfield, and then that will then have a positive impact on everybody else, and we'll start to take more, especially as the weather gets nicer. Like Mansfield on a Tuesday night, I mean, Mansfield on any day is not one of the nicest places, is it? But Mansfield on a Tuesday night in the middle of February is not a very nice place. But like you say, credit to the Mansfield fans as well, especially that little section that they've got in their safe standing. I do really like the beat that they beat their songs at. Is it's a little bit slower, and it gives everybody a chance to sing along. So if there's anything that our back wall pounders can take from Mansfield, it would be just to bring the beats per minute down of the drumming or the back wall pounding, and just relax, and because it makes the chant go on for longer, doesn't it? So you haven't got to think about as many chants, because you got less to sing about.
Yeah, I call it retro drumming. That's how they used to drum back in the day, wasn't it? But for some reason, since TikTok came in, the drumming seems to have sped up. So you see the little clips of people drumming in their bedrooms and showing how fast they can beat their drums. People going in the comments saying, "Oh, such a sick drummer," and it's, yeah, maybe not the fast beating in the bedrooms that the most people their age do, but we've got Bradford on Saturday. I'm disappointed in the ticket sales. Bradford actually took some of our allocation off of us because of how slow the ticket sales are. If there's anyone watching or listening to this right now that haven't bought a ticket for Bradford away and are considering it, just do it, because Bradford's a ground that a lot of posh fans wouldn't have been to. I don't think we've played there for a good few years. Have you been to Bradford before?
No, I've never been to Bradford before.
I've only been once. It was probably in, 2017 time? I don't know if we've played them since then. It's going to be a great atmosphere. Bradford obviously got a lot to play for this season, but we're in good form. Players need the support. And if we pack out that away end, anything could happen. And memories can be made. I think there'll be a lot of people that will decide not to go to Mansfield on Saturday and will regret it when that 90th minute.
Mansfield on Saturday.
Bradford, sorry. Did I say Mansfield? I'm very tired. I started work at 6, but hey, at least I didn't miss the game today. This memory will live forever in my memory, and that's why everyone should buy a ticket on Saturday to Bradford.
Yeah, well, and what better way to spend Valentine's Day than a trip up to Bradford, eh? I think that we will be out for lunch somewhere, me, Shannon and Imogen. I then think that I know for a fact that we'll be coming back, and we're going to go to a new Turkish restaurant. We've got a table booked for 8:30, I think it is. And it's actually named it's the same name as the hotel that we go to when we go to Turkey. So what are the chances of that?
Fate.
Yeah, fate, some might say. And it's in Oundle, depending on where you are from. Have we got any other football to talk about? Have we got anything else? We should mention Frith, I think, very briefly. Only as a passing comment that... I'm gonna say what Chaz said. Chaz thinks that Declan Frith is worse than Abraham Odo.
I weren't sure if you were going to say it, because Chaz did say he'll say it on a recording. I weren't sure if we were going to allow him to say it. But it's too late now, Charlie. If you're going to backtrack on that comment, it's too late.
Yeah, we don't do edits on these car recordings. They get straight uploaded onto my MacBook and then downloaded, exported and uploaded again. So, yeah, it's not being cut, Charlie. I'm sure that you'll join me on Friday night for Countdown to Kickoff, and you can tell everyone that you think that Declan Frith is worse than Abraham Odo. I just didn't see it again from him, really, again today. Even when we were under pressure at the end, weren't we? And it was kind of like you were asking for him just to leather the ball and just get rid of it. And he's just played a pass back into the middle, and then they've recycled it. So I hope, I still have faith that Declan Frith can do it, and it might just be that he needs a run of games. But at the moment, I can't see that he's getting in ahead of either of Hayes or Lisby. So he's just going to have to bide his time. Maybe once we get out of this run of Saturday, Tuesday, it may be worth him having a game or two in the 21s, if there are any available, just so that he can get active on the pitch again, right?
Well, I'll tell you, Frith's biggest problem is that when Matty Garbutt's back, they're going to have to get him in the team somehow, and they're not dropping Jimmy Jay in his current form, are they? So that's potentially two right wingers that are playing ahead of Declan Frith. He's been very disappointing this season, that's what I'd say. I think Charlie's frustrations are probably because of that, if anything. I think we've spent near on £1 million, and like you say, we just haven't seen it. There was also a moment as well where I think we're on the break. He could have easily have played it to the wing. Jimmy Jay had peeled off. He was ready to make a run. If he gets that pass, Bob on, Jimmy Jay is one-on-one. Instead, he looks up, he sees the keeper off his line, doesn't he?
Oh,
he goes for the shot. And look, if it goes in, obviously we're going to sing his praises. And it wasn't far off, but it just wasn't the right thing to do in that moment. I think that pass to Jimmy Jay could have been the difference between us having our hearts in our mouths in the last minute and not. And had we drawn this game, I think that would have been a very, very frustrating moment, because I think at that point it would have put us 3-0 up.
Yeah, sounds about right. I forgot about that, and now I'm even more annoyed. But yeah, it is what it is. We are 34 minutes and 30 seconds in. I am incredibly tired. We are 13 minutes away from the services where I'm going to go out and have a stretch of the legs. I think we're done, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. And we're in eighth place. We don't want to end on a negative and talk about Declan Frith. We're going to end on a positive and say we're in eighth place. The playoffs are still on. We were talking about the season being over, weren't we? And what, how early it could be over for us and have nothing to play for. But in traditional posh form, the season isn't over yet until the next time we lose and it'll be over again.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. Up the poshcast.
Up the poshcast.